Hello, ramblers and gamblers. Josh Rosenthal here. Thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing IG at Rambling and Gambling, and the old email, ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. Today, we are welcoming back the dynamic duo of the Ringers, Raheem Palmer, and the Action Network's Brandon Anderson. These dudes are the best. And this pot is loaded. We're starting with the NFL, hitting Bills Chiefs, Cowboys Eagles, both Rye and Brandon, of course, given their bets of the week. They both hit them last time around when they were on before week one. I've got a cash or trash. We will also talk about the next coach fired, whether Mike McCarthy is a good coach all of a sudden, how high you would draft Justin Tucker, knowing what we know now, et cetera, et cetera. Then it's time for a little NBA. The NBA is back. It starts next week. We're doing teams that can win it all. Future Palooza, basically just Raheem and Brandon throwing out a ton of futures that you can bet before the season starts. Some Victor Wembanyama talk. I hope I said that right. My apologies if I did not. Zion, we get to a little bit. LeBron, Draymond, Ben Simmons airballing wide open mid-range jumpers. A lot going on during this pod. Here is Ra and Brandon. Gentlemen, welcome back to the pod. I see Brandon, you are coming from your usual spot in the Midwest. Raheem, however, appears to be back in a Vegas hotel room. For the listeners, he's on what appears to be a very plush couch with like a, it's like a picture of like a half naked woman behind him and like a very fancy looking wall. I don't even know how to describe that. You were also in Vegas, I believe staying at the Cosmo, and we talked to you before week one. Here we are more than a month later. You are still in Vegas. What is your deal, man? Are you just done with Philly? Are you a Vegas resident now? What's happening?
So I came out here to sign up for the Super Contest and the Circa Contest. I was supposed to stay for 4 days. I ended up staying for 2 weeks. I went home for 4 days, and then I realized, oh, I got to go back for the Canelo GGG fight. And I've been out here for probably like a month now. I'm thinking about moving out here. I don't want to deal with like an East Coast winter. And then also it's just like, as we talked about before we got on, I like the lifestyle of being able to, you know, everything is done by, like sports is done by 7, 8, 9 p.m. And then I can go out and have a good time. I can go have dinner. I can go to a party. I can meet people. So I've been having a good time. And then also it hurts that, you know, in Philly, I'm limited on every single app. Like, I can't, like, I can bet. Well, like, there's places where I can bet.
I'm going to bring up you being limited in Vegas as well later if we still have time. Brandon, this is the life, huh? Average guys like you and me, we don't know anything about this. This is only the high rollers, like the Raheems of the world, huh?
Man, you ain't living until you're on a text thread with Raheem just getting, like, nightly receipts of whatever hit he's made. Like, 4-1 here, 3-1 there, we got this one. You get the little, like, the note on there about, you know, the like cocky little note before he turns it in to leave his mark on the bookie. That's the way to live. I'm out here just like popping in my little half unit size bets and like sweating out 10 bucks here, 40 bucks there. Then you just get a little Raheem update, a little living different lives, but that's why we're such a fun pair.
Oh my God. You're telling me. All right. We've got a lot to talk about here. First,
and speaking of that, I just sent y'all one. So y'all see that in a minute.
I'm like waiting for it to come in. I haven't gotten it yet. All right. Regardless, let's get going. Let's start with a little NFL. A couple of really big time matchups in week six, at least by early season standards. And we're only going to do these two matchups because I want to get to a bunch of NBA as well. We'll hit some other NFL, but it's mainly these two matchups. I'll set them up. You guys know how this goes. Take it anywhere you want. Game one. Bills favored by 2.5 in Kansas City against the Chiefs. Over-under is 53.5. All these numbers are from FanDuel as of Tuesday afternoon. The Bills are 4-1. They were everybody's preseason Super Bowl pick. And so far, they've lived up to the hype. Josh Allen, favorite to win MVP. You know the Bills have had this one circled since that insane playoff loss to the Chiefs last year. However, the Chiefs also 4-1. They will be playing on a short week after knocking off the Raiders Monday night, also at home. But Mahomes is right behind Allen in the MVP race. They've been fine without Tyreek Hill, at least so far. Offense looks a little different, but offense still looks good. Brandon, start us off with this one. What do you think of this matchup?
Man, this is maybe the game of the year, right? We're excited for this one. I can't wait to watch this. I can't believe, how is this in a primetime game? We got all these stinkers in primetime. We got to put this one in the middle of the afternoon with other games on. Come on, let's give our whole attention here. I usually would just be an auto bet on the Chiefs here. I have a go-to stat that pretty much anytime it pops, I'm just like, yep, Pat Mahomes. So Mahomes, when he is a three-point favorite or anything shorter than that, so 0-3 favorite or anything underdog, for his career, 13-2-1 against the spread. So 87% cover rate. He's won 8 of the last 9 games in that margin. However, guess who the one was? It was to Buffalo last year. It was a loss in the regular season. By the way, that stat is just for regular season. It's not quite as strong in the postseason. So last 3 games between these teams, last year, so the playoff game, remember, 974 yards between them. Regular season last year, 828 yards. And then the playoff the year before, 802 yards. So we're going to see a lot of offense here. We know that. I don't think I can back the Chiefs here, even though it's in Kansas City, even though Mahomes has that awesome ATS record. If you look at the matchups, what's the one unit that clearly doesn't quite stack up with the other units? We know the offenses are great. We know the Bills' defense is great. Heck, we know the special teams are great. Well, as long as the Chiefs find a kicker. Chiefs' defense is the weak spot here. The defense has been solid, but we saw Davante Adams light them up over the top a couple times. Chiefs' pass defense has been suspect. They got that young secondary. And, man, I sort of feel like Josh Allen, as good as he's looked, this you can't call it a coming out party. This feels like Sunday could be a changing of the guard, where we've been saying Bills, Chiefs, 1-2, some order. This is the class of the AFC. I think we might come away Sunday saying, no, it's the Bills. Bills are the class. They're the team right now until proven otherwise. It's not a 1-2 MVP race. This is a Josh Allen MVP race. So I think the Bills are a good angle here. But I mentioned the MVP. You can play Josh Allen at plus 260 to win MVP right now. I think that's the play here. I think that's a money line play, because if the Bills win this game, they have a one game lead over all 3 other division leaders in the AFC and a tie break. They beat all 3, Baltimore and Kansas City and Tennessee, all head to head. And they have a very soft schedule going forward. I only count 4 games that they'd even be less than a touchdown favorite. If the Bills go to Kansas City as well as they're playing right now and win this game, this is Josh Allen's MVP to lose. So I think you play the MVP, you get a sneaky, huge advantage on a money line. So I like the Bills. I think it's going to be a great game.
I like that take. That's an interesting one, Brandon. Raheem, for this game, are you also leaning Buffalo?
Yeah, I also like Buffalo. I think, you know, look, when you look at the Chiefs, I mean, they are first in it. Interestingly enough, these two teams are first and second in EPA and success rate offensively. And the Chiefs are first and the Bills are second. And the Chiefs actually have an advantage on early down EPA per play and early down success rate. But I think a lot of Buffalo's metrics are actually suppressed by the fact that they played in a hot weather game against the Miami Dolphins. They play in the rainy game against the Baltimore Ravens. I just think this is the spot where Buffalo actually shows, like, we're one of the best teams in the league. And, you know, one of the things that I find interesting is that if you watch that Raiders game last night, the Raiders were able to get some pressure on Mahomes. But unlike the Raiders, the Buffalo doesn't have to blitz to get pressure. I mean, they're at the top in terms of pressure rate. So I think they'll be able to pressure and slow down Mahomes. I mean, this Chiefs offensive line isn't the best right now. And I mean, look, to me, you look at the other side of the ball, Brandon already mentioned it, the Chiefs defense, it leaves a lot to be desired. So I just think the Bills, top to bottom, they're the better team. So I think this line is probably a little short. I mean, we're seeing some 3s pop in the market, but like you said, on FanDuel, you can find a 2.5. So I think that's where I'll be looking.
Before we move on to the second game, your picture text did pop up here, Raheem, that you mentioned earlier. Can I reveal this to our listeners?
Yeah, you can reveal it.
I can give them. Okay, so the ticket that Raheem just sent Brandon and I via text, we're recording this, it's Tuesday afternoon at 5:23 Eastern. Raheem bet the Phillies money line plus 175. They just won. Here's the ticket for anybody on the video feed here. It's sorry, this is pointless. You can barely see it. But basically, Raheem bet 10 grand to win. Oh my God, is this paid out 27.5 And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why Raheem has been living at the Cosmo in Vegas. Yeah.
For the last month. That one just finished like minutes before we hopped on here too. The Braves came back. They hit that 3-run homer. You're sweating a little bit, Raheem, or did you feel good all the way?
I started sweating. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like that's what, that's probably why I dropped the glass. Like I dropped the glass like minutes before, so I got to get housekeeping to clean all this up. So
that's the other thing. If you hear housekeeping come in on this podcast, it's because Raheem dropped the glass right before we started recording.
Hey, I got a prop for you on this one too. Let me jump in with one more thing on Chief Bills. So a couple other stats that stuck out to me here. So I think this is a spot where Tyreek Hill really gets messed by the Chiefs. We haven't really seen that happen a whole lot yet. The Bills are the number one DVO defense against tight ends so far this season. So if you can somewhat take away Travis Kelce or even limit him, don't give up 4 touchdowns like we saw Monday night. That obviously is huge. Mark Andrews, the other elite tight end these days, they played him. Buffalo played him. He had 2 catches for 15 yards. If Travis Kelce does that, Kansas City is in big trouble. And then the flip side, the Chiefs are dead last in DVOA against wide receiver one. Well, the Bills might have 2 of those guys, the way Gabe Davis lit them up in the playoffs last year, and obviously Stephon Diggs. So I think those are big problems. Raheem mentioned the pressure, too. Chiefs are bottom 5 in pressure rate allowed. Here's the prop that I have for you. Josh Allen, a thing that I've noticed with him, go-to play for me. Whenever the Bills play a really good team, and I'll just qualify that as a playoff team, Josh Allen runs more. They design more runs, and they clearly give him the green light to scramble more. So here's the numbers. Last year, 19 games for Josh Allen. In 11 games against non-playoff teams, 5.7 carries, 38 yards. In 8 games against playoff teams, 9.5 carries for 59 yards. This year, if you count, obviously we don't know who's going to make the playoffs, but if you count the 3 teams, Baltimore, Miami, and the Rams as potential playoff teams, 9.7 for 58 yards, almost exactly what he was last year. In the other games against Tennessee and Pittsburgh, not really running that much. So his line is usually around 40 yards. He typically averages closer to 60 in these games. There's no prop yet, but when that line posts, Josh Allen rushing over has been a great, great play. Last year and this year, he is 9 of 11 hitting over 40 yards when he plays a playoff team. So I think that's a great prop to add for this one too.
I love that. I not only wrote that down, I gave it the circle and star treatment in my notes. You need to come back to this one. That's good stuff, Brandon. The other game to go in depth on this week, Cowboys at Eagles. Eagles favored by 5.5, over under 42.5. Philly undefeated, and the Dakless Cowboys 4-1 somehow. Did not see that coming. Raheem, this is your favorite team versus your hometown team. What do you think of this one?
Okay, this is an interesting one. I think when it comes to this matchup, I mean, obviously the Eagles, they have some trouble on the offensive line. Jordan Mailata is out, and they lost a few guys against Arizona. And the caveat here is that I don't think the Eagles are going to rush those guys back with them being on a bye next week. It's like, why would you rush those guys back knowing that, you know, look, it's an important game against a division opponent, but you don't need to rush those guys back and hurt your season. So look, the Cowboys have historically dominated this Eagles team in this era, especially with Dak. Now we don't know if Dak is playing. But I mean, for me, if Dak was to play, I personally wouldn't want to touch this game just because I don't really like to take quarterbacks coming back off an injury. I think it's, you know, it kind of throws off the rhythm. Now, when it comes to the Cowboys, they're winning these games with defense. It's not Cooper Rush. I mean, they won against the Los Angeles Rams with 10 first downs, largely because their defense, I mean, they're just beating up on bad offensive lines. Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence. I mean, look, you see all the games that they won this year. Bad offensive line against Cincinnati Bengals. They dominated there. Bad offensive line against the Rams. They dominated there. Bad offensive line against the Giants. They dominated there. I think this is a similar situation, but I do believe the Eagles are a better team. For me, I think this is a situation where the Eagles offensive linemen aren't healthy. I think you have to kind of be looking Cowboys here. I think this is a game where if the Eagles were healthy, I think they'd win this game by 2 touchdowns. I mean, if they're playing Cooper Rush, but I don't trust the Eagles offensive line right now. I think this is probably an under. I'm not imagining we're seeing a lot of points. I mean, the Cowboys are 1st in pressure rate. I think the Eagles are 5th in pressure rate. So, I mean, both of these teams can turn up the heat on defense and get pressure on the quarterback. So I think you're looking at an under, and I think you're looking at the Cowboys plus five if the Eagles offensive linemen aren't playing. But if they are playing, I think you got to stay away from this one or take the Eagles. But I like this as an under.
Brandon, you agree with that?
Yeah, we're on pretty much the same page on this one. I'm bummed about all those Eagles offensive line injuries because I've been eyeing this one for a few weeks as the reckoning that has been coming for Cooper Rush and the Cowboys that, you know, get out of here with quarterback controversy. Don't be ridiculous. Yeah. Cooper Rush, thank you for showing up. Thanks for handing the ball off and handing a few guys. Give the ball back to the franchise quarterback when he's ready. He's probably not ready yet. But against this Eagles team, everyone's focused on how good the offense has been. I think the Eagles' defense has maybe even been better than the offense. And that unit against Cooper Rush, I've just been waiting, drooling for the opportunity. But now I don't know if I trust the Eagles' offense to show up in this one with the offensive line, all those injuries and the pressure rate. Raheem mentioned the rivalry recently. Cowboys swept last year, 92 points between the two wins Dallas had in those games. And Dallas has won 7 of the last 9 in the rivalry. I agree. I think I'm staying away on the spread here. I don't feel like I have a good read on it. I certainly like the Eagles better, but it feels like both teams are a bit overvalued right now. The Eagles offense has been good, but played the second easiest schedule of defenses so far. So I think that we haven't quite seen for sure what they will look like, and Dallas is going to be a tough test for them that way. And then turnover has been really big for both teams. Like, that's the most boring talking point. Whoever gets the turnovers will win. But Eagles turnover is 11-2 for the season. Dallas is 7-2. So we've really seen what happens if the turnovers don't come, what happens with these teams. I like the under. Under is my favorite play too. Cowboys games, all 5 have been 39 points or below. We know their defense is going to be good, and I don't really know if we can trust them to score. Eagles have had 3 games at 37 or below out of their 5. And then primetime unders are 11-5 so far this year. So I'm probably going to just tiptoe into this one just because of the injuries and we're not totally sure what's coming. But I think the under is my favorite play for now.
Can I just briefly talk about how awful it is to be a Commanders fan at the moment? We're talking about the NFC East. And yeah, you've got the Eagles undefeated. You've got the one loss Cowboys. You've also got the one loss New York Giants still starting Daniel Jones last I checked. And then you've got the 1-4 Commanders. Of course, there's all the off-field stuff. I'm not even going to get into that here. Last week, you get a Carson Wentz pick for the ages. Ron Rivera is still preaching patience 3 seasons in. Raheem, is that room service calling you back?
Yeah, that is.
no problem. Dora, I'm just going to keep going. Do you need to get room service? You can go get it.
Let me go.
Keep my rant. Brandon, keep listening to my rant here, okay? Carson Wentz pick for the ages. Ron Rivera still preaching patience 3 seasons in. Monday, a reporter asks him for the difference between, you know, his team's rebuild and that of the other teams in the division. And he says quarterback, and there's a long pause. He did apologize later for that today on Tuesday, but let's not forget Cowboys are starting Cooper Rush. Again, Giants are starting Daniel Jones. And even if this is on Carson Wentz, Ron Rivera is the guy who brought Wentz in this season. By the way, this is the honeymoon period. We are in the Carson Wentz honeymoon period right now. And here we are, the Commanders looking up at everybody else in the division. And you've got suckers like me who took over 7.5. And I actually felt good about it this year. This isn't even really leading to a question. This is just me doing a weekly vent session.
I'll fall on your sword with you, because the last time we were on, Josh, you asked us, cash or trash, that you kind of like the Washington over, and I backed you on it. I thought Washington might actually be good. I thought this opening schedule in particular was the reason. I believe on one of our podcasts I gave out Washington as a long shot to be the last unbeaten team in the NFL. Well, that didn't happen. That happened for 1 week. It was great. They beat the Jaguars. This has been a soft schedule. Look, I'm the Carson Wentz guy. I'm NDSU. This is my guy that I've been following. So this is just like a sad time of mourning for my whole family. Trey Lance, the other NDSU guy, goes out for the year against the local Bears. I wore my Lance jersey on the opening day, and then he couldn't even beat the stupid Bears, and he goes out for the year. Now Carson Wentz, like, we kind of wish he was out. My poor mom doesn't watch the games live, but is this huge Carson Wentz fan, support the local guy. So I've seen the whole game on Sunday. I've seen the final play. I've seen the Carson Wentz interception. A couple hours later, I get this hopeful text from mom. Carson looking good. A couple bombs early. Washington's got the lead. And I'm like, oh, mom, just turn the game off. Delete it from the DVR. This is not going to end well for you. So, you know, it's hey, at least Washington finally looked good in the first half. Can we do that? Like, normally they didn't even come out to play till the second half. So this is rough. If you can find, here's the bet that I want to make that I can't find in a book. Give me a book, like points bet. Give me a book line on will Taylor Heinicke over under half a snap on Thursday night. I think it's time. I think that you say, okay, not necessarily to make a permanent move, but I think you come out, it's going to be this ugly, nasty, low scoring, gross game against Chicago. And I think you say, you know what? We had a guy that's actually pretty decent. Why not? Like, let's see if there's a spark. Let's see what happens. How does our team respond to a quarterback that frankly can't be much worse than Carson Wentz at this point? So I'd like to take a Taylor Heinicke, like over under half of a passing attempt or something. I think he's going to be on the field soon.
I'd be shocked just because Rivera made the trade for Wentz, but who knows? Regardless, let's apologies to your mom. Please tell her I feel her pain, and let's move on to greener pastures. Let's do bet of the week. You guys, by the way, when you came on the preview of week one, absolutely killed it. Both of you hit your bets. You gave us an amazing 2-0 start to the season in our expert picks section. And I'll tell you, we are now sitting at 3-3. So I'm hoping that we can bring some of that good luck back. Not really luck. That's skill. The skill that you two impart, your wisdom. Let's start with you, Brandon. What do you have for this week's bet of the week?
I'm going to take the Seahawks. I like Seattle, and I think the books are still sleeping on the Seahawks. Right now, 5 games into the season, your Seattle Seahawks are the number one offense in DVOA. Number one. Ahead of the Bills, ahead of the Chiefs, ahead of everybody else. It's Geno Smith and the Seahawks. Take that for data, Russell Wilson. And 5 weeks in, we need to take this seriously. Like, they are just going out and putting up points every day, every game. We talked about like Josh Allen and Mahomes earlier and the gulf between them and the rest of the league. If you look at all the different advanced metrics right now, it's basically Allen and Mahomes, 1-2 in some order, a little gap, and then Geno, and then a big gap in everybody else ahead of Lamar and ahead of Jalen Hurts and all the other guys. And at some point, I think we just got to respect that something is working here. The passing game, Geno's getting those deep moonshots that Russ used to hit, hitting DK Metcalf and hitting Tyler Lockett. They're moving the chains. They lose Rashad Penny, but Kenneth Walker had a nice game, looks ready to step in. Look, Seattle's defense sucks. They're terrible. So we know that that's going to hold them back. But this game, Seattle, Arizona, I think the wrong team is favored. Seattle is at home where they have an actual home field advantage, facing Arizona that has proven what? Why are we counting Arizona as a favorite against practically anyone at this point? The Cardinals defense has not been good, is not good. Secondary is terrible. They're bottom 5 passing DVOA. They're bottom 5 in passing EPA per play. And Seattle lights it up with explosive passing plays. They lay it up in the passing game. They're number 1 in passing DVOA. So I love the matchup for Seattle. I think this line is way off. Like, in my numbers, I have this off by like a touchdown. Like, I think Seattle should be favored by above the key number. They are underdogs by the key number at some books. So I'm taking Seattle to cover. I'll take Seattle on the money line. I love this spot. Cliff Kingsbury, 8-14 ATS as a favorite, 1-3 as a division favorite. Pete Carroll, 61% cover rate as an underdog, 63% as a division underdog, 63% after a loss. Obviously, a lot of those are with Russell Wilson, but guess what? Geno Smith's been playing better football right now than Russell Wilson ever did for this team. Yeah, I said it. Seattle, all the way.
Love that take. Coming in hot, Brandon. I'm into that one. So what are we going to market at officially? Seattle plus, I'm seeing 2.5 on FanDuel right now. Does that work for you? You like them 2.5?
Yeah, I'll take the Seattle 2.5. But if you're listening, play the money line. And you know what? go on looking and see if you can find the over under 5.5 games. We're at 5.5. That is ridiculous. I am insulted. Take the over 5.5. Take the playoff odds too. Get all of it. Get the Seattle win. Mark me down for the 2.5. But if you're listening, play all the rest of the stuff too.
Brandon is buying Seattle. I love it. Raheem, what do you have? What's your bet of the week?
I think I'm going to go with the Colts. And I think, look, when I look at this matchup, the Jaguars were like the darling for the world. I mean, like truly the darling for everybody. And when you look at who they beat this year, they beat the Colts, who were missing all of their receivers. Michael Pittman. You're missing guys on the defensive end. Shaq Leonard. And you beat a Chargers team which had everybody injured, and you had Justin Herbert coming off of injured ribs. So to me, what I saw from Trevor Lawrence last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, it was very, very concerning. And to me, I just think this is a good bounce back spot for the Colts at home. I'm going to lay the 2.5 points. So I just think this is the right side.
It was Lawrence against the Texans last week, I think. But okay. All right. Yeah, does it concern you at all the recent history of Jacksonville? Small sample size, but they've lost a couple of big games, or the Colts have lost a couple of big games to the Jags recently, if I'm not mistaken.
They have, but that came in Jacksonville. So like Jacksonville has been like a house of horrors for the Colts on the road. But I mean, at home, I just think it's a different spot. So with the Colts having a lot of their guys back for this matchup, having – like, for me, I count – when you play a Thursday night game and then you have 10 days to prepare, I think you're in a good spot. So they actually beat the Jaguars at home last year. They lost to them on the road. So I just think playing in Florida is just – it's a house of horrors for them. So I like the spot on the bounce back and the revenge spot.
What's our number?
We're going to go further on that one. So we know the Jaguars have won 8 in a row in Jacksonville. During that stretch, the Colts in the same matchup in Indianapolis have won 8 out of 9. The last time I think in my notes that a road team won in this series was September 2014. So it's something weird is happening. I don't get it. I can't be with you because I love Jacksonville and I think this is a really nice spot for them. But the road splits, home away, speaks for itself, and the Colts take care of business at home in this one. So it's really weird. I don't know what's happening with that.
I'm worried about this because I've already bet on Jacksonville in this one. And this when Raheem and I go head-to-head, it normally doesn't work very well for me. What did you have, Raheem? Indy -2.5? Was that the number?
Yeah, and minus – opened up early, like – at 1 or something like that. And then, you know, it took some sharp money and actually got pounded up. So, but okay. I still like it at 2.5. I just think, to me, the Jacksonville Jaguars haven't proven themselves. I mean, I just think they played – their two wins come against injured teams. And they probably should have beat the Washington Commanders. But it says a lot that they lost to the Commanders.
wins.
I know. Thanks. All right. Well, let's do something to turn my mood around a little. I told you guys how we had gone cold in the expert pick section a little bit, right? Well, not in this next section, my friends. It is time for a little cash or trash. We're now 4-1 on the season here after nailing the Tennessee first quarter money line last week. I actually haven't lost one since week one when you two were on before. You both gave me cash on that, I think. But I didn't lose. I've been red hot ever since. We're now 4-1. Last week, Tennessee first quarter money line. This week, Chicago first quarter money line. Why would I do that? You guessed it. It is because they are playing the same team that Tennessee was playing last week, and that is the Washington Commanders. Not a lot going on here. Basically, I'm going to run this one back until it loses. I went through a bunch of data last week pertaining to how nobody falls behind quite like the Commanders. Brandon kind of mentioned that earlier with how bad they've been in the first half. Well, all that still stands. They did put up 3 in the first quarter last week, although the bet still hit. That was their first quarter score since week one. Bears, meanwhile, do score in the first quarter a decent bit. Small sample size, but since laying a goose egg in week one, they've put up 7, 10, 6, and 3 first quarter points. And again, the Commanders, short week, on the road. I can't imagine that Rivera spiel in front of reporters this week has the guys ready to just run through a wall right out of the gate on Thursday night. So if it ain't broke, fellas, don't fix it. Give me Chicago first quarter money line. Got it at -112 on FanDuel. Let's go with just the cash or trash answer first, and then I'll give you guys time to kill me or otherwise shortly thereafter. So first, just tell me cash or trash. Brandon, cash or trash?
Trash.
Raheem, cash or trash?
Trash.
I thought Brandon might cash that. I had a feeling I knew it was coming from Raheem. All right, whoever wants it, why is this trash?
For me, look, I actually think the value was on the Commanders in this spot. And look, I know it's super ugly, but what do the Bears like to do? They like to run the ball. The Washington Commanders, that's the one thing they can do is stop the run. They're six in rushing DPA. They're six in rushing DVOA defensively. And they're in the top five in rushing success rate and rushing EPA per play. So if you have a team with Justin Fields who is not looking to pass at all and they're just running, I think you could see a punt fest. And if you're laying a point with the you're taking a money line. So, you can find yourself in a push situation, but I actually think the Commanders are alive to win this game. And I just think the market is kind of undervaluing them. I mean, this Bears team really is one of the worst in the NFL. And I think they've lucked into, you know, certain matchups where they can run the ball on teams. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball here. And I think this is kind of a make or break it spot for the Commanders at home. So that's where I'm looking.
Brandon, you feel the same?
Yeah, I was going to point out the run thing as well. The Bears running and Washington stopping the run. Let me give you a little chiasm, a trash, cash, trash. This bet is trash because you're betting on Washington and Chicago, and that by definition makes it trash. It's a first quarter bet, and you can turn off the game and live your life after that. So that's the good part about it. It's trash because I don't want to bet my hard-earned money on this game, and I don't want to bet on Washington or Chicago. I feel like there's a pretty good chance we're just going to be 0-0 at the end of the first quarter. I love the under in this matchup. So I guess you push if that's the case and get it back. I'd rather see if I can get like a Chicago plus a half. Can you give me the Chicago plus a half? So that way, if we tie at the end of the quarter, which I think is very likely, then you get a win out of that possibly, probably paying a little bit more that way. But I think I'd feel a little better that way. And because I dumped on my guy Carson Wentz a lot, just in case mom listens, 4-1 against the spread on short rest for our guy Carson. And, you know, that's like four games ahead of where he usually is on all the other ATS trends. So I like Washington a little bit more than Chicago, but trash game, cash, because you can just get your bet and get out of there.
I hope Mrs. Anderson is listening to the podcast and go and if so, go Carson Wentz from one Commanders fan to another.
That's right.
Few random NFL things before we go. And let's do these quick if we can, guys. Matt Rhule, first coach fired this week. Brandon, who is your pick to be the second coach fired?
You know, I didn't have a great answer for this one. So when in doubt, go with the old faithful. Give me Cliff Kingsbury. All is Cliff Kingsbury to get fired. If you keep naming Cliff Kingsbury as the next guy to get fired, you're bound to be right sooner than later. So this is not happening for Arizona. I guess that pairs well with my pick earlier. Raheem and I have been trashing Cliff Kingsbury for forever. He's supposed to be a first half of the year coach, and it gets bad in the second half. It's already ugly. Offense stinks. I can't watch anymore. Kyler Murray bubble screen. So it's time. Get Cliff out of here.
Raheem, back to your Dallas Cowboys being 4-1. Last I checked.
Oh, shoot. I actually had an answer. I had an answer for.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I think it's pretty obvious. I think it's Ron Rivera. And if they don't win tomorrow, he could be gone. Like, he literally could be gone like as soon as Thursday if they don't win this game.
I would be shocked because
I thought about saying Rivera, but that's part of why I like the Heinicke thing, because that's why I think he makes the move, because you put in Heinicke, you buy yourself like two more weeks. You'd be like, oh, well, let's see how it looks with a new quarterback. So I think he's in trouble.
But Brandon, does it buy him time if he is the one who brought in Wentz? It's his decision. He's running the show.
You're thinking rationally with coaches and GMs don't make rational decisions.
Here's the thing. I think at least with the Arizona Cardinals, they're showing signs of life. Like if Washington loses to the Bears at home, this could be over this week.
Cliff also signed an extension reportedly before the season started.
He did, and so did the GM, but I don't really care. Just get clear house, get him out of here.
Fair enough. Raheem, Mike McCarthy, Cowboys are 4-1. Is McCarthy a good coach all of a sudden? Were we wrong about Big Mike?
I don't want to go that far. I think their defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, is doing a hell of a job, and I just think they have some ball players. We haven't seen them in a tight situation. You know, I've seen some people on Twitter say that Mike McCarthy has done a better job coaching Cooper Rush than he has Dak Prescott. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm not willing to go that far. I think you got to see him in certain situations.
Brandon, you recently tweeted that Justin Tucker is worth trading an entire draft for. I'm assuming that, you know, you're being a little it was a little hyperbole there. However, it's interesting. I mean, Tucker had another game winner. The guy's automatic. He is certainly in the running for becoming the best kicker ever. I don't know. I guess Vinatieri is the only other guy in the conversation at this point. Knowing what we know now, how high would you draft Justin Tucker, knowing what he would ultimately do?
So look, the context here is I'm a Vikings fan, so getting the kicker matters a little bit more to me because like we're going to make like multiple extra playoffs. We're going to make a Super Bowl in my lifetime, 1998 Gary Anderson vibes. Give me a real kicker that makes it when it counts, so it matters. I think that I would spend a top 50 pick on Justin Tucker, and if I was worried about getting him at 50, I could be talked into taking him with a late first-round pick. If he's this good for this long, look, the draft is a crapshoot. You got a lot of picks. We don't know how many guys work out. We remember the late first-round hits, but there's a lot of guys that, like Jalen Rieger, thanks again to Philadelphia for that one. Like, these guys don't always work out. Justin Tucker is a superstar and a big difference maker. Like, you get to the 50, and you're in field goal range with him, basically. So I'll give it up.
Last one of these before we do NBA. Raheem, what recent event bothered you more? Vegas sportsbooks limiting you or that guy who told you on Twitter that Nelly was a better rapper than Beanie Siegel, which you seem to take very personally as a fellow Philly guy yourself?
Oh, my God. That's a hard one. I want to say the second one, but my livelihood depends on like me not getting limited at books. So it's definitely the first one. I was like, you know, it was the thing that pissed me off about it was that I was having a losing week at one of the sports books. And then I made a huge bet on the Cleveland Browns to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then they were just done with me. So to me, it was just like, wow, I started to get back. And now you guys want to give up. I literally lasted 2 weeks. And I guess, I mean, I kind of cleaned them out. Like I was dominating them, but it was just like, in fact, it might have been 3 weeks. It was 3 weeks that I lasted. And it was just like I was dominating them. I was hitting them with everything. 2-3-team parlays. I was hitting huge money line dogs. Like, I think one of the big bets that I hit, I don't think I even posted this on Twitter, but the San Francisco Giants were down 2 runs at the top of the ninth, and they were paying like plus 650 or something like that. I had about $7,000 in my pocket, and I was up for the day. And I was like, you know what? Just give me the whole 7,000 on it. And they end up tying the game in the top of the ninth and then winning by like 3 runs in extra innings. So it was just like, I was hitting stuff like that. And after a while, it was just like, we're limiting you to $500. So, I mean, that kind of pissed me off. So it's definitely the first one.
And now that you've spent an extended chunk of time in Vegas, have you only been limited at the one book? And part two of that question, have you had to switch up how you get down? Because, you know, we've talked to guys, including on this podcast, who said I'm a known commodity and I have to get creative with how I bet in certain sports books.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been fortunate. Like, there's a couple books that like are kind of just really taking my action. But I mean, I've only been limited by one book out here. But I mean, on the East Coast, I'm pretty much limited, like almost everywhere as far as like the app. I can still play in person. But I mean, I don't know how long that would last if I stayed on the East Coast.
On to the NBA, fellas. First off, the regular season starts next week, which just feels crazy. I'm thrilled about it. It just seems like it came really quick this year. I want to take a big picture look to start this conversation off with where things stand now. Right now, 6 teams have odds to win the championship that are roughly 10-1 or shorter. In order, Boston 6-1, Milwaukee plus 650, Brooklyn, Clippers, Golden State all 7-1, Phoenix 10-1. Raheem, of those teams, which do you like the best to win it all and why?
I've been giving out the Los Angeles Clippers for like months now. I think that's my favorite. Look, I mean, Los Angeles Clippers, you got Kawhi Leonard, you got Paul George, you got Marcus Morris, you have Nick Batum, you got Terrence Mann. You have the best combination of wings in the league outside of the Boston Celtics. To me, you have Tyronn Lue, who I believe is, you know, one of the best coaches in the league. They have the ability to go small. And it, I mean, with them going small, they can match up with anybody defensively, and they can kind of create mismatches offensively. So this is a team that had a top five defense last year, and you're adding Kawhi Leonard. So I expect them to have a top 10 offense. You got a top 10 offense, top five defense, you're a championship contender. And obviously you still got Zubac, so you still have a traditional center, but you add John Wall, you add Norman Powell. This is one of the deepest teams in the league, so I really like the Clippers at plus 700. If there's another team I think you should always have in your portfolio, it's the Milwaukee Bucks. Obviously, last year, Chris Middleton got hurt, but they still went seven games with the Boston Celtics. I think the Milwaukee Bucks, to me, you got Giannis Antetokounmpo. You got the best player in the league. They're headed back for a resurgence season. They won 51 games last year, and they were banged up for most of the year. So, and Amber come off a championship. So I think they have a real bounce back year. I think those are two of my favorite that I would want in my portfolio.
Brandon, which team is not in that group that we just mentioned of top contenders that you think should be?
I'll give you two, because I think that there's two that should be. The teams that I favor to be the one seed in both conferences are not on that list. In the East, Philadelphia's 76ers, Raheem's hometown team for now, at least. They're 16-1 right now at FanDuel. Sixers went ahead of P.J. Tucker. They added D'Anthony Melton. I think their defense is going to be great. I know Raheem loves our guy Tyrese Maxey for a huge breakout year. Joel Embiid is an MVP candidate. James Harden is whatever he is still. Hopefully something after a little more rest this offseason. They're deep. They have two, maybe three stars, depending on how good Maxey gets. They should be great defensively. I don't know that I trust this team when we get too deep in the playoffs. That is, I don't trust them, but I like them to be the one or the two seed because of the defense and the regular season. So then you're going to get some advantageous spots and home court and that sort of thing later. In the West, the Denver Nuggets, 20-1. I love the Nuggets. I don't know why the Nuggets are so underrated. We got the back-to-back reigning MVP, who really should be the MVP favorite this year if it wasn't that he just won twice and no one wants to give it to him again. MPJ is back, looks awesome. Just basically tall Klay Thompson knocking shots down everywhere. Jamal Murray is finally back. The Nuggets added some good bodies in the offseason as well. I like Bruce Brown on that team. I like how guys like Jeff Green and guys who were playing above their level last year go back down in the rotation to where they should be this year. So I think that balances the team out a lot. And Michael Malone is a great coach who always has his team overperform. So I think that's a really good team. I think Denver could be the number one offense this year, not just this season, but potentially in league history. And if you like an offense that much, you got to like them for title odds as well. And again, if you get the one seed, you're going to get some advantageous spots with your long ticket. So I think both of those teams should be in the mix.
For both of you, any teams that we haven't mentioned here that you think have a legitimate shot, even a small shot of winning it all this year?
Well, I think Brandon, you know, mentioned my favorite too. I mean, obviously the Philadelphia 76ers and Denver Nuggets. I think those are the teams that I'm looking at. I mean, I think you have some teams who could be great regular season teams, like the Minnesota Timberwolves and the New Orleans Pelicans, but I don't expect them to make the leap from where they are to championship contenders, but I expect them to be, you know, top four or top five seeds in the West.
Interesting that neither one of you mentioned the Washington Wizards there. Maybe you haven't heard about Porzingis. I don't know what the deal is. All right, let's do what I am calling Future Palooza. I know you both have a million of them. For the listeners, I have no idea what's coming. I'm thinking that let's just take all the time we need. Brandon, Raheem, sling some futures our way. Start with some of your favorites and we'll work our way down. Who wants it? Who wants to go first?
I got one. All right, I'm going to start out where we just left off. I'll take Joel Embiid to win Defensive Player of the Year, 25-1. So it's the same case. Look, Defensive Player of the Year historically goes to a big man. Screw you, Marcus Smart, for stealing my money last year. Big man on a great defensive team. Top five defense every year since 2008. Top three all but three of those years. If you love Philadelphia's team defense, This is a team award, not an individual award. You're going to take the best big man from the best defense. I like that to be Philadelphia. And even better, we'd want Joel Embiid to get one of these big awards. He's been dying to get that MVP, but just never quite plays enough games. We don't really care about games played for Defensive Player of the Year. We don't have stats for it anyway. So you play good defense. Your defense is going to look much better this year because of those guys around him, P.J. Tucker and Melton, Thibault. All those guys are going to help the defense. So I like Sixers defense a lot. So I like Embiid to win this award. He finished second in the award once before. That's a good indicator of future winner. 25-1, I think, is too long.
Okay, Embiid 25-1. Raheem, do you know who you could get at 27-1 to win the award?
I don't have anything Benjamin. On that one.
Benjamin.
Your boy Benjamin, Raheem.
I figured oh, man. I can't do it.
Real quick, before I let you do a future, did you see this video that's going around of him?
Oh, like, the one where he airballed? Oh, my God, that was horrible.
It's like a mid-range jumper. It's some sort of promotional thing with Kyrie. It was not.
I mean, he was out there looking like me.
It wasn't pretty. Hit us with the future, Rob. What do you got?
All right, I have two. And, I mean, it's for the most improved award. Most improved player. I mean, I've been giving out Anthony Edwards to win most improved player all summer. It's gotten bet down from 12-1 to plus 850. I think a lot of the value there is gone, but I think there's still some value in that. Because I said, this guy went from averaging 21 points a game in the regular season to 25 points in the playoffs. And when you look at most improved award historically, last 10 or so years, this award has really gone from the true most improved player to a good player who becomes an all-star. I mean, you look at guys who have won it recently, Brandon Ingram, you got Julius Randle. You got, like, all of these guys become first-time all-stars, Pascal Siakam. So I think with the Minnesota Timberwolves trading for Rudy Gobert, they have a chance at 50 wins. And I think if they win 50 games, it's going to be because Anthony Edwards. But he does play in a crowded situation. D'Angelo Russell is in the backcourt with him. Karl Anthony Towns is going to, take up the majority of touches. I still like that one, but I think the one I really like now is Tyrese Maxey. I mean, look, it looks like Tyrese Maxey is the Sixers' second-best player. I mean, he's going to take on more of a scoring role, and I think James Harden is going to take more of the playmaking role. So, I mean, I think Tyrese Maxey, I mean, he's going to make his first All-Star appearance this year if the Sixers are as good as we think. He's down to plus 1,400, but I still think there's some value there. I think it was at plus 2,000 earlier, like almost a week ago or so, but I still like those two. So those are my favorites for most improved player.
You know who stuck out to me for most improved player? I mean, this is the long shot of all long shots. John Wall's 130-1. There's a real narrative there with a comeback story, a redemption story. He's on what's expected to be a very good team, a title contender. I doubt he stays healthy enough long enough, and it's kind of tricky because he has been an all-star before. So how do you give the most improved player nod to a former all-star? But if John Wall comes back and does what I hope he does, I'm a big John Wall fan, 130-1 seemed like a little value to me. Am I nuts, Brandon? I see you shrugging. I'm nuts. I'm nuts for John Wall 130-1.
So, well, Raheem and I have had long arguments on text and on podcast about historically how do these awards go. And I have my whole profile and model for each of these awards. So the bad news is you're both wrong. None of those guys are winning most improved. The good news is I got the right bet for you is Jalen Brunson. That's who's going to win most improved this year. Here's the profile that you want for most improved. This is why Wall is not a good fit. Almost always, you want a guy age 22, 25, about third or fourth season in the league, somewhere in that range if you can. Brunson's a year older than that group, to be fair. But you want a guy ready to jump to like top 15 or 25 in the league. That's that all-star, even fringe all-NBA thing. Jalen Brunson is going to fit into the Julius Randle profile. They're the same thing in New York. We know he's going to get a lot of attention. And importantly, and this is partly why I don't feel great about the two guys Raheem mentioned, even though I think they're going to be great this year, you need to improve a lot in your points per game. Typically, you're jumping around 50% points per game from last year. That's about how the numbers come out on it, and you need to get over 20 points a game. I don't like Ant and Tyrese to win this award because I don't see a 50% margin for them to get to. I don't think they're too good already last year to improve to that. With Jalen Brunson, the benefit here is we go from one team with Luka Doncic, the guy having the most usage in the league, sucking up every shot, all the oxygen in the room, all the assists. Now you go to the Knicks, and you're going to get a lot more usage there. You're going to get a lot more shots up. We already saw in the playoffs, he went from 17 points a game in the regular season, and suddenly he was up in the high 20s when Luka wasn't playing those first few games and lighting up in the first round. He had like a 40-point game out there. We know Tibbs is going to play him like 1,000 minutes a game because that's what they do in New York. So we're going to get a minutes boost. We're going to get a usage boost. Go from like 17 and 5 to 23 points, 7 assists, something like that. That's a very reasonable jump. I think it's a pretty expected jump from him. And if you make the playoffs or at least the play-in with New York, you know you're going to get the media spotlight. I think Jalen Brunson should be the favorite for this award. When he signed with them, I thought this was a runaway, and the number was way down in the summer. Then we had the whole Donovan Mitchell thing, and we kind of all forgot about it. And I think there's a lot of value now. 23-1, Jalen Brunson. That's going to be your most improved player this year. Sorry, guys.
How much success do the Knicks have to have as a team? Is it just the play-in for him to be considered for that award? Do they need a top six seed be considered? East is tough.
So from my notes, 9 out of the last 10 most improved players were a top 8 seed, made the playoffs effectively. Obviously, the play-in didn't exist always before that. So you want someone not on a great team because you need enough room to improve. So you can't have lots of superstars there, but not on a bad team. Not John Wall's old team, the Wizards. Too bad. They're most improved on that team. So I think that'd be a problem maybe with Wall too, is a little too much Kawhi and PG in the way. Maxi and Ant fit well on kind of the range where you'd want to be there. But so yeah, 9 of 10 made the playoffs. The one that missed was Ingram, and he barely beat out Bam, who made the finals that year too. So I think that's kind of about the right range. Brunson's on the fringe, but I feel like the East, like 7, 8, 9, 10 range, I feel like he'll be pretty safe there.
My poor DC teams are taking some real shots on this podcast. The Wizards over under, by the way, is 35.5 wins on the season. I hesitate to say which side I think is likely. Raheem, what else do you have, man?
As far as futures?
Yeah, you had one more, right? Or you can respond to Brandon, whatever you want.
I'm going to let Brandon cook. I'm not mad at that one. I just don't know how much I feel about the Knicks. I think they could struggle to make the playoffs. And I think that's where I'm a little down on that one. But I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it at all. I guess if there's one more future, I'm low on the Grizzlies this year. I think you can take them under 50.5 wins.
Okay. All right. Any reason specifically? I'll tell you, this is total anecdotal, whatever. That team, they are really, really confident, maybe a little overly confident. That's what worries me.
I'm never gonna be mad at anyone for being overly confident. I am a little mad. I'm a little mad at Russell Wilson for like his toxic positivity of the Broncos country. Let's ride. I mean, that's the thing that's bothering me right now. But when it comes to the Grizzlies, I mean, they took some hits. Obviously, Jaren Jackson Jr. is hurt. You lose Slo-Mo, Kyle Anderson. So that's a big part of their wing depth. And when you look at what they did last year, they were a team who were they were 22nd in half-court offensive rating. And they mostly thrived off of turnovers and transition, scoring in transition and offensive rebounding. And I don't think that translates. I think, you know, they kind of just had a good year. I think the West is a lot tougher this year. I mean, you have teams who emerge. Obviously, the Clippers are back. Obviously, you have a team like the Minnesota Timberwolves who should be better. You have a team like the New Orleans Pelicans. You have Jamal Murray back with Denver. Michael Porter Jr. back with Denver. So I think the West is a lot tougher. I think the Lakers will even be better. I mean, the Lakers, I'm not expecting them to be a championship contender, but for large parts of last season, they were a joke. So I think the West being better and the Grizzlies losing some key pieces and along with just having variance going in their favor last year, I just think they take a huge step back. And then, honestly, I mean, look, this has been spoken about at length last year, but the Grizzlies with John Morant on the court weren't good last year. Like, they were so much better with him off the floor. Now, it's pretty inexplicable, and I still don't know the reason for it, but I just think this Grizzlies team, to me, you'll see last year was fool's gold. I like this team in the future, but they're not winning 51 games.
Brandon, you want to do one more feature? And then I've got a few random questions we'll bring this one home with.
I want to do about 12 more futures, so I'll meet you in the middle and do like three rapid fires here. Raheem knows I'm a futures guy over here, so I'm with Raheem. I like the under there on the Grizzlies, and correlated, I like the Pelicans to win the division. I think that's still around plus 350 or plus 400. You want to bet the Pelicans over under because you want to bet the extreme versions of them. They're probably the highest variance team in the league, so you want to play either goes really poorly, so take an alternate under. Or if it goes really well and Zion looks good, he's skinny, he's healthy. If it goes well, you want to take a high-end version. I'm not super high on the Mavs. I'm definitely down like Raheem is on the Grizzlies. So I think it's a great spot to back the Pelicans. That number, I think, is far too long. I would put them about co-favorites with Dallas on that one. So love that for them. Norman Powell, sixth man of the year. It's around 25 to 30 to 1. Clippers have had three of the last five sixth men of the year. This is just a thing the Clippers do. Norman Powell last 3 years has averaged 16 points a game, 18.6, 19 points a game. And those minutes are going up. He's going to play a lot of minutes for the Clippers, especially. He'll get some boosts on those nights when Kawhi or PG sit out. He only played five games for them last year, but averaged 21 points a game for the Clippers. And he's just, he's that guy. Like, we know what sixth man is. It's the shooting guard cooker that comes off the bench and just starts getting shots up. And I think Norm is a great pick for that. Kawhi Leonard, 40-1 MVP on the Clippers. If he plays enough, I'm with Raheem liking the Clippers here. So I think that's a smart way to back them. I don't think it's likely because he's not going to play a lot of games, but 40-1 is too long. And then I'll give you out one last feature here. And I don't say this very often because this is a terrible thing to say as an analyst, but this one is actually real. Free money. Here's free money, a free money bet for you. You can bet on at pretty much every book who leads the league in three-pointers per game this year. Guess what, guys? We know the answer. We have the answer, Key. It's Steph Curry. Steph is going to lead the league in threes. He has like 8 of the last 10 seasons. You can bet this something like minus 150, minus 175. And I know that you're looking at like, yeah, but Donovan Mitchell, what if he shoots more for Cleveland? Or Buddy Hield, the Pacers will be terrible. What if he gets – no, no. Steph destroys the field in this category. I have an article up from last year. We're putting it up again this year. I estimated the real odds for this to be something closer to minus 1,000. And Steph blew the field away. The only way that you don't win this bet is if Steph doesn't play 58 games and qualify. This is like our favorite seeker, Raheem and I, Matt Moore, all of us. The moment that it starts popping up at new books, we're like, Steph's up at DraftKings, go get it. So go get your free Steph money and use it to field some of these other bets that are no doubt all winners.
That's the second circle star you've got for me on my my notes this episode, Brandon. Very nice. Very nice, fellas. That was a wonderful future palooza there. Really enjoyed it. All right, a few things on our way out. Victor Wembanyama. I am sure I'm butchering that, and I apologize. I'm trying to get it. Did I get it? Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you definitely got it.
All right. Very nice. Victor Wembanyama. Overrated, underrated, or properly rated?
So I got an article up at Action Network looking at Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson. And I'm going to just I'll do it. I'll be on the podcast on record saying Victor Wembanyama is overrated. Now, I do not think Victor Wembanyama is bad. I do not think he's a bad prospect, but I'm going to get clipped just for the overrated thing. He's overrated because people are calling him the best prospect since LeBron James. Settle down. We have this like 18-foot beanpole out of France that played two good games in front of a crowd, and now he's the best prospect since the top two greatest player of all time. Can we settle the hype a little bit down? Clearly the talent is awesome. It's off the charts. We've never seen anything like it before. You have to get excited about it. He's a great prospect. There's things to nitpick. There's things to absolutely love, but he cannot possibly be more hyped. It's not possible for him to be underrated. He can't be underrated. There's no way for it to happen. He's the most hyped guy that we've had. So by definition, he has to be a little overvalued. I think Scoot Henderson's really good. I think the conversation for number one is going to happen. People are going to spend the year being like, you know what? 7'4" guys never stay healthy because guess what? They don't. And what will this be in the NBA? And hey, you know, he reminds me of Chet Holmgren, who's not playing at all this year because he's hurt. We're going to do it. We're going to do the conversation. It's going to happen all year. So I'm not saying I'll take Scoot. I'm saying someone is going to say they'll take Scoot, and we're going to have the conversation at some point.
Rye, you agree?
I haven't seen much of Scoot, but I mean, look, I honestly, I need to see more of Victor. Obviously, he has the frame, and he's just, he looks like almost a Rudy Gobert, Giannis, Kevin Durant hybrid. And
there was a picture of him that came out last week next to Gobert. Gobert looks small. Gobert looked like a child next to Rudy
Gobert. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah.
If you want a throwback comp, here's the comp that I came up with. Rudy Gobert, good comp. Kevin Durant, we see the jumper. Matt Moore called him like a tall Tracy McGrady. Kind of weird, but I kind of see it. Like, everything is so effortless for him. The one I like is modern-day Andrei Kirilenko. If you remember, like, throwback nerd jazz days, I don't think Wembanyama is a center. I think that we're going to say, oh, he's Rudy Gobert that can shoot. I think that's a poor use of Wembanyama. And the way that the modern NBA is going, I want him as like a combo four, switch a little bit, use the length out there. You can get back and protect the rim. But I need him away from the basket on offense. I need him like handling the ball and shooting all those shots. Get him out of the post. I don't need him banging bodies down there, taking the beating. So I think, you know, Andrei Kirilenko, like a Sean Marion type role, not nearly as athletic, but just kind of one of those weird do-everything sort of players. I think it's really fun. We're going to have fun seeing what he will be in the NBA. And next year, we get to bet on Wembanyama against Chet Holmgren for Rookie of the Year. That'll be fun.
I was an AK-47 guy back in the day. Always a fan. You too. Always a fan. Raheem, let's go to you on this one. You always like to point out when guys are Larry Holmes status, a.k.a. flabby and sick. Who is the next NBA player to be added to the Larry Holmes list? So this is somebody who we have not thought of in this light previously, but we will soon.
Oh, this is a tough one. Look, I'm never going to count out LeBron James. Obviously, he's one of the oldest players in the league right now. So you're never going to count him out. This is a tough one. This is a really, really tough one. Just because I'm not sure we're seeing there's anybody like at the end of their career right now who I just think is totally washed. And I think Anthony Davis is in. I mean, he continues to get hurt, but I think he's going to have a bounce back here. So this is, I don't know if I have anybody right now. I'm going to be honest with you.
In the past week, I think you said that about, I definitely saw you say it about Max Scherzer. And I feel like you said it about a basketball player too, but I can't remember who.
I actually said about Russell Wilson.
Oh, Russell. That was it. Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Russell
Wilson. As far as like basketball, I LeBron just keeps on ticking. And Kevin Durant, I mean, he came back from an Achilles injury better than pretty much anybody. And, you know, there's nobody really at the tail end of their career who's good enough to even, like, receive that term.
Well, what about Raheem? Let me give you two Larry Holmes. I'm trying them on here. I don't know if I'm with it, but let me try on some Larry Holmes. Larry Holmes, number one, is Draymond Green Larry Holmes. We know all the stuff that's happening. We know the athleticism is going to wane soon. He's a small, big man. Could Larry Holmes take over Draymond Green soon?
It actually could. And honestly, the next one is probably Chris Paul. And I think Chris Paul will probably be he's good enough to – actually, there's three, actually, when I think about it. When you look at guys like Chris Paul and Kyle Lowry, they're good enough at – just the fundamentals and getting players the ball and shooting that they're always going to be impactful. But I think you'll see it when the playoffs start, when smaller guards struggle and they're going to start to show their age. And I think you saw it with Chris Paul last year. He's one of those guys who gets injured all the time. So I think Chris Paul is probably, he's about to be 36, 37 years old. I think you'll see it with Chris Paul. I think you'll see it with Kyle Lowry.
Chris Paul is my other one I was going to throw you, so we're on the same page there. I hate it. I hate it. We love Chris Paul. We love Kyle Lowry. I know he's your Philly guy, Raheem. These guys can't play forever. Nobody can be LeBron but LeBron. Maybe Victor Wembanyama. Yeah.
You can get Suns 13-1 to miss the playoffs this year.
You can, and ooh. I have.
Oh, you have? Okay, me too.
I love it.
I should have
played that one. I did that 18-1 a few weeks ago, so I – Yeah, there's a stank coming out from Phoenix, and it is that locker room and all the mess there, the Sarver stuff, the Ayton summer and the KD pursuit, the weird way the playoffs went last year. That's one of my favorite long shots bets, so I'm with you. I think the Suns get to like maybe a 7, 8, 9 seed and then get to the play-in, and they're like, you know what? Hit the eject seat button. Like, we're out of here. This season sucks. We're done. Get out of here. Let's go home. 1, 2, 3, Cancun.
That's
exactly. Yeah, I mean, look, the thing with Jay Crowder is like really disturbing because it really hurts their wing depth. And then who's the, like, Deontay Ayton said he hasn't even spoken to Monty Williams. And I'm pretty sure they've spoken at this point. But I just think when you have that contract situation, you have the coach kind of giving up on you, and then it takes for another team to match your contract for them to max you. So it's just like, I think that's ugly. And then there's always the injury possibility with Chris Paul. And I love Devin Booker, but I don't know if he's as impactful as people realize. So I agree with this one.
All right, last one. I want both of you to answer it if you got something. If not, that's okay. But I think it's an important one. Any general gambling advice that you guys want to give out to listeners who are either trying to improve on their NBA betting game, or maybe they're just breaking in? Maybe gambling is now legal in their jurisdiction and they're just starting out. What gambling advice, what wisdom would you send their way? Raheem, you can go first on this one.
I had a list of stuff. Let me hold up. Can we pause real quick?
Let me go while Raheem's pulling up his list. I got one. Because my advice actually is not my own advice. My advice comes from a dear friend of mine, the great professional bettor, Raheem Palmer, actually, is who told me this advice. So the most important advantage you have as a bettor is that you don't have to bet everything. And it's really important to remember that the book has to put up lines for everything. The book has to be like, oh, Wizards Magic Tuesday night in February. Let's go. Here's a spread. Here's a total. Here's a first quarter number. Here's some props. Here's all the lines. Eat your hearts out. They got to put up hundreds of lines every night. We don't know who's playing. We don't know who was out last night. We know any of that stuff. And if I don't know any of that stuff as a bettor, I don't have to play it. I can just cross it off and move on with my life and go out and enjoy my evening. I don't have to watch Commanders Bears. I don't have to bet it. I can just live my life. As a bettor, your biggest advantage is you don't have to play everything. And if you, especially if you're a new bettor or novice, or if you're just getting those apps and suddenly it's right there on your phone in your hand at all times, trust me, the easiest thing you can do is you just want to play everything. And if that means putting like a dollar or two so that you have a reason to root for the game, that's fine. That's an entertainment fee. That's a movie ticket. That's different. You're going to bet like Raheem does and put some real amounts of money on things. You got to pick your spots. And Raheem is awesome at picking his. You don't have to bet everything. Pick your spots and get the right plays.
Pick your spots. Awesome advice. Yeah. Ra, you got your list up?
Yeah, I got my list up. I think the biggest thing is that you want to bet early. Obviously, these markets are efficient. You know, Brandon, he does some great work over at the Action Network where he picks the look ahead lines. And he's often beating these lines by 1 or 2 points. So if you're betting on Sunday of NFL game, you're probably getting the worst of it. Or if you're betting at 6 p.m. for a 7 p.m. NBA game, that line has probably moved 1 or 2 points. So I recommend betting early. I also recommend studying and reacting to injury reports. I think those are big. No matter what the sport is, whether it's NBA, NFL, or baseball, one injury can change everything. We spoke about the Eagles injury report this week. That's going to have an impact on the game. I'd recommend looking at schedule advantages, especially for NBA. With NBA coming up, I mean, you look at NBA teams, they tend to average around 10 to 14 back-to-backs a year. And, you know, teams on the second half of a back-to-back, I mean, you fade those teams, you can find like solid advantages, especially with the 2-game series that they've been doing since the COVID thing. You tend to see one team win one game, one team win the next one. When it comes to NBA totals, you want to look at how many possessions that a team is going to play at. You know, you have some teams who play at a faster pace. You look at a team like the Washington Wizards when they had Russell Westbrook. I mean, they were 18th in offensive rating, but they were third in points per game because Russell Westbrook tend to push the pace. So, or you look at a team like the Dallas Mavericks, they're one of the most efficient offenses in the league, but they play slow with Luka Doncic. So you want to look at those possessions to be able to determine win totals over and whatnot. And then, I mean, obviously the other ones are live betting. You always want to be able to, you know, look for different, like the NBA game is so swingy. You can find different advantages. I mean, so that's big. I got two more actually. I think it's really good. You want a line shop. You always want to have, you always want to bet at different casinos. When you're betting at a casino, one casino might have 3.5, the other one might have 3. Obviously, when it comes to teasers, don't tease basketball, only tease the NFL. And then the last one is you want to track your bets. There's a great app, the Action Network. I mean, you can track all your bets. You can track sides, totals, props, and it'll let you know how you're doing so you can be honest with yourself.
Really good stuff from both you guys. I love having you two on the pod. I really do. Let's do some plugs. Rod, just keep on rolling, man. Where can listeners find you?
You can find me at I Am Rostradamus on Twitter. That's I Am Rostradamus. It's Raheem, but it's like Rostradamus. You also find me at the Ringer Gambling Podcast. I mean, I'm on the Ringer Gambling Podcast about 4 times a week. We're doing NBA, NFL. We did a little MLB today. I haven't really done much MLB publicly, but I mean, you guys know I've been posting MLB picks all weekend. We got Seattle the other day. I think Seattle +145. They came back from 8-1 to defeat the Blue Jays in game 2 and close out that series. We gave that out. We gave out the Philadelphia Phillies today, +175. I'm announced this here first, but we're also going to be doing a Sixers podcast on the Ringer gambling feed. Well, actually, not the Ringer feed. It's going to be like a Sixers podcast. We're going to be covering the Sixers every single week. So look out for that in the Ringer gambling pod.
Nice. I'm excited. Congratulations, Raheem. Adding yet another pod to your growing portfolio. Well deserved, man. That's fantastic. I look forward to listening to it. Brandon, what do you got going?
Yeah, I mean, you got to follow, like Raheem said, start at the Action Network app. You got to have it. You got to follow me and Raheem on there. I'm at Wheaton Brando. That's me on the app. That's me on Twitter. Raheem, what's your follow for the pod on the app? Are you at Raheem Palmer?
No, I am Rostradamus.
Okay. So yeah. Same one, same thing as we are on Twitter. Follow us on the app and turn on notifications, because we put in the bets, you get the immediate notification, and that's helping you line shop. That's telling you where to get the line in. Like both of us are moving books. So you got to get your bet in right away. Raheem's moving books with his money. I'm moving books with my app plugs, but we're both doing it either way. So you want to get the app notifications on, so you can track and so you can get the update right away and get your bet in. So follow on there. I will be on all football season, the Action Network podcast. I'm on Mondays recapping the football slate from the weekend. Fridays getting you ready for the following weekend. We do hot read. We do look ahead, like Raheem talked about, on each one of those. Give out our top 3 picks for the week on Friday. So that's the Action Network podcast. And then for NBA, I'm on the Buckets podcast. So that's Matt Moore and myself. Formerly Raheem, many, many episodes he and I had together on both of these feeds. And I will be on Fridays during the season doing, big picture updates and futures Fridays. There is a glut of wonderful offseason. We got like a full podcast on every one of these awards that we talked about, full podcast on every over-under. So lots of stuff to get you ready for the year. So Buckets podcast, Action Network podcast. And then, follow on Twitter at actionnetwork.com. I got like 8 articles a week picking all the games, every NFL game for the week. And we'll have some more NBA stuff, Futures Friday for football and basketball too. So lots of stuff coming your way.
I'm glad you hit that, Brandon. And I was going to add it if you didn't. Brandon's writing, man, you're killing it. You're just churning out so much stuff, NBA and NFL. And in particular, if you're looking about NBA futures, go on Action Network, read Brandon's stuff. It is really, really good. You've been killing it, man. So both of you guys, congrats. Thank you for continuing to do my little podcast, no matter how big and how impressive you two continue to become. What a joy. All right, Brandon Anderson, Action Network, at Wheaton Brando on Twitter. Raheem Palmer, Ringer Spotify, at I Am Rostradamus on Twitter. You guys are the best. You know that they actually told me that I might want to consider keeping my podcast a little bit shorter a couple weeks ago. Did you know that?
they said that?
I was told. They're like, it's not a definite thing, but you might want to consider it. And this might be our longest one yet, which I knew damn well was coming, and we're not editing it either. We're putting it out there. So thank you both. You're awesome. Let's do this again sometime before the seasons plural are over. Have a good one, guys.
All right, you have a good one.
There it is, ladies and gents. That was a fun one. Thanks to Brandon, Raheem, and of course, producer Parrish. Throne pick this week. Talked about it a little bit during the pod. I am going Jacksonville plus 2.5 in Indy. You should probably fade me there because one, Raheem is taking the opposite side. And two, I just keep getting killed in this section week after week after week. Last week, I had Tampa minus 8. Falcons had a little backdoor cover there. And we are now just awful 1-4 on the season with a throw-in picks. So like I said, fade me. Next week, our guy Dave Purnham is coming back. ESPN superstar Dave Purnham. I'm not totally sure what we're going to be talking about yet, but we'll figure it out. Dave's always awesome. And otherwise, thank you for rating, subscribing, reviewing IG at Rambling and Gambling and the email ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. See you next Wednesday, everybody. Have a great week.